Hey guys, in order to support the show, we will need the help of some great advertisers, and we will need your help. So please go to podsurvey.com/vanity and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us to get to know you a little better. That way our advertisers will know, you know, just what badass listeners you are. Once you've completed the survey, you can choose to enter for a $100 Amazon gift card. Again, that's podsurvey.com/vanity. Thank you.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 36 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Soy milk is for little girls. I drink the real thing. That's right. Cow's blood.
Here we are at Anthony Jeselnik's fourth most important job, his podcast. You know, he's all stressed and in show mode, TV show mode.
I'm not stressed at all.
Maybe not stressed. That's the wrong word.
I definitely have things to do. I mean, I made this TV show so that there would be no stress. So it would be just fun. We've taped two episodes already. I got two more this week, two more next week, and then we're done with that six-episode order.
You've already done two, right? Mm-hmm. You did one Monday.
I just said that. I said I've done two already. Mm. Two more this week, two next week, and then finished.
There's a different vibe, though, when you're taping shows like this, right? I mean, you're a little more amped show mode, you know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, there's like, you're like this podcast is the three of us and then camera guy Stu, but on Good Talk, my new TV show, there's like a huge crew and like all these people all around that you're like, you're almost doing it for them. Like, I'm on a team and I don't want to let anybody down. I want to get people out. Mm. I want my friends to have fun. That's the biggest thing, is I want the guests to have a good time.
But you're used to like letting us down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't worry about you. Like, you guys are like, you guys should be grateful to be in my presence and get a paycheck from this that I share with you guys. I could cut your salaries in half right now.
This is like becoming, yeah, more and more of the narrative around this season.
No, I'll let it go. You bring it up. You bring it up, and I'm not on edge. You bring it up, and then I put you in your place. That is our dynamic. And we're all, actually, I wouldn't say we're on edge today, but again, you know, we've been negotiating with the network about another season of the show. We've got, this is 36, so we've got four left after this, three episodes in a live podcast coming up. And we tried to get in the building today, and we have these little like cards that get us into the building, and they like worked a little bit, like they got us in like the front door, and didn't get us through the gates into the elevator. And we're like, what's going on? They're like, oh, your pass expired on May 31st. Why? No idea. Mm. Why Comedy Central would give us a year-long contract and have the passes expire 8 or 9 months in is beyond me. And the security person comes down. They're like, oh, you have to just email the badge people. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And they're like, do you have anyone upstairs you can call? And I'm like, no, I don't. It's 7 o'clock. Everyone's gone. What are you talking about? Like, well, this is not the White House. Like, I'm doing, they're like, so you're doing a podcast? Do you do it every week? I'm like, why am I explaining this to you?
Any concern Comedy Central was trying to send a message in negotiations?
Not at all.
Just like, hey.
I knew it was purely incompetence. It was pure incompetence that they wouldn't think to give us a heads up. Like, I thought about leaving. I thought about just being like, you know what? No podcast this week. They're not going to, I'm going to get credit for it. And they're going to fix the passes by next week. But I couldn't believe. I mean, I could believe, but I was just like, of course.
Well, but yeah, my favorite moment, because I joined you, you had already been in the badge office for 5 minutes. You had been detained like a kid with the vice principal or something. And yeah, she said something about filling out an NEN form. And you were like, just say to her, you're like, I don't fill out forms. We're talent.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to fill out a form. I'm not going to. She said, email the badge office. Like, I had that email address. Like, I was going to be cool. And then as I called my manager, his assistant was still there, but we didn't need her. Cameron Gass Stu came down and saved the day. And there were two executives, two Comedy Central executives up here waiting to say hello to me when we got up, that we could have just had them come down. But it's like, what are you guys doing? Mm. Like, why would you ever give us passes that expire at the end of May, when our contract goes beyond that? And then not be like, oh, by the way, guys, we got to fix this. It's endemic of the network. But yeah, I started taping the show.
How'd it go?
It's been fun. It's been great. It's been really fun. I got to. I don't want to give away guests just yet, but I had two different friends of mine, and you talk for like an hour and a half, and you got to cut it down.
Was one better than the other?
One was a little more fun. One we ran into like a little bit of a speed bump with one that got a little more dramatic than I expected, but we just cut all that out. And it was ended
tape
up being
an hour and a half and cut it down to what? It's a half hour show or an hour show?
I mean, it's a half hour show, but you cut it down to like 21 and a half minutes. So you just take the best stuff, and there's weird stuff in there that we're like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We can cut it, but it's pretty easy. You pretty much know what the best parts are. One was certainly more loose and like improvised than the other one, but they'll both be great. And I'm looking forward to the guests I have coming up. The really funny thing was my first show taping was Thursday night. Or Thursday afternoon, and Wednesday night, I'm about to go to bed early. Like I'm like it's like 10:30, I'm about to go to bed. I check my email one more time, and there's an email from Comedy Central, an executive, and it's like notes, and then it's just like, and I'm like, I can't believe this must be a mistake. There's no way they would send me notes 14 hours before my first taping. And it is. It's notes on like upcoming episodes, like little things. Like some I agree with, and some are like no. And then there's like there's a bunch of ideas for digital content that they give me that are god awful
stuff and that wouldn't be in the show or something like
stuff
they
that's
would
like
just...
stuff that let's we're not gonna do this on the show, but let's do it for the internet, you know, for our Facebook fans and
your
for
favorite.
Instagram. They've got 9 million people who follow them or whatever. They're like, we need something for that, and their ideas were like terrible, and it's the night before. Like, you don't give me ideas the night before.
It's what I'm talking about, being locked in show mode. That's all I mean. That you're like in a certain like, don't bug me with this trivial shit.
Yes.
Well, you were nervous about it today, Greg. I mean, I took a sick day because I have a cold, so I didn't go to work today. And I was in bed, and Greg was texting me, can you text Emma to see if they're taping today? Because I don't want to bug Anthony.
Yeah,
it was cute.
No, I mean, and as you should.
It's not nervous. It's just like, that's what a friend, like, why would you wouldn't text him like an hour before his show is starting?
Right.
Sure. But I mean, a text from you wouldn't bother me. Whereas, like, this email of notes, I was like, I'm locked in a way that I am. Feeling a little frisky, you know what I mean? I'm like quicker with an insult than I would be. That I was like, oh, I'm delighted to get this email.
Oh, believe
and I think,
me, my parents know.
I believe that they mistakenly put me on that email. And like they're like, they never should have sent notes to you. You give them to my bosses, and my bosses tell me, or like the showrunner and the people who work with me, my manager, and they give me the notes. I was like, oh, thank you for sending me notes. I was wondering if I would get notes 14 hours before the first show, and you guys came through for me. Let me answer these bit by bit. And just by the end, it was like, I don't know what the fuck this even, I don't understand what the fuck this even means. It was like how I ended the email. And just had a great time. And the next day, they were all terrified. The executives were like, is he? And I'm like, I'm not mad at all. It didn't even upset me. It was just like, thank you for like giving me this gift to be able to trash you. To your faces, and then
she
we did
still
the show.
And the executive still loves you. She was same one, right? Was here and excited, like very excited to meet Erica, a listener of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JVP.
Junior Vice President.
Yeah, they like me, but they were worried that I was going to be like mad, that I was going to come off like from the taping and be like, and another thing. But I was just like, hey, like thanks for coming, guys. Like good to see you. We have some. We know what we have to do. Everything's cool. Like I wasn't mad for a second, but I cannot be mad and still ruin your whole fucking day. So that was fun to do. And the taping went great. What else did I do this week? I went and saw Ma. Greg had no idea what I was even talking about. You know what Ma is?
Yeah, the
Octavia Spencer
party
movie
or something.
Yes, and it was like they were like, don't give away the ending. Please, whatever you do, don't. And I was like, you got me. I'm gonna see this. It doesn't matter. There's no way it would be like, oh, this movie's all about the ending. It's not The Sixth Sense. It was like just a regular ending to a horror movie that I was in the back row with a friend of mine, and it was like, it was a mix of people. It was like opening night, so a lot of people there, and I was in a row with like a bunch of black guys, and everyone else in the theater was taking it dead seriously and like jumping and screaming and being scared. And me and these like, I'm going to say four or five black guys were dying laughing the entire time, like dying. When the movie ended, the guy next to me turns and goes, that's supposed to be funny, right? And I'm like, it was for us, man. Like we had a great time. Like it didn't matter. So go see Ma or don't, but know that I thought it was hilarious. Watched the Deadwood movie. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah. I figured Deadwood's... that would be your recommendation station. In honor of you, I think I might... I'm going to try to go back and actually watch Deadwood.
It's so good. It's so good. You really have to watch all three, or like at least
I mean the whole series.
I think it wouldn't work if you don't watch all of it, but at least, I mean, the whole movie is based on the last episode of the third season, kind of. And you can't just watch that out of context, but like I was like, why are they releasing it on a Friday? Does that mean it's bad? And then I found out that Friday was the last day of Emmy eligibility. So that's why they did it. And it's a great movie. Like I watched it and then I at 5 o'clock when it aired, and then I just rewound and watched it again.
Damn.
It was so good. Made me cry. I cried at the end of it. It was that good. And I don't
know. Deadwood's like your favorite show, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah. What's it about?
It's a Western. It's about like the beginning of like an American town where there is no law, no government, and like how they bring that, you know, how people get into power. But it's the writing and the characters.
But
that
with
make
like
the show.
An insane language. That.
Yeah, the language is so dense. It's almost Shakespearean in its density. Like I rewatch it all once a year, and I always pick up new things. I like to quote it a lot. So that was great. How about how was your week, Greg?
Well, I've got, you know, the in-laws in town.
Oh, that's right. How's that?
It's like a.
How are you enjoying the language barrier?
Well, it's a weird thing to have a language barrier with your in-laws. Like for the most part, I think it kind of. Limits the any ups and downs that you're going to have with each other. It's like you're only going to know each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, you know, there's a certain respect. And once I proved that, like, you know, I'm a person that can hold a job and, like, pay rent, you know, they liked me enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you're probably not going to really understand the subtleties and be able to joke around too much.
No.
But that's fine.
I mean, I spent a week with your in-laws in Tokyo a couple years ago, and I learned one thing and one thing only about your father-in-law, and that's that the man likes to throw things back. He likes to drink.
Yeah, I mean, the key is to make sure he's loose and supplied, and well, he's going to make sure anyways.
I mean, did he ask about me? Because like when we would go out, you and Emeka wouldn't drink at all, and
we would drink.
We'd have a little bit, but he was like, so like, want to drink a bottle of soju? Yes, I do. Want to drink a bottle of sake? Of course I do. More beers? Yes. And then he'd be like, do you want to go out afterwards? And Emeka would say, don't you dare, Anthony. Like, don't you dare go out with him some more. You'll end up at like 5 in the morning in some karaoke bar.
I tried to explain this job to him, and he finds this job hilarious. I don't think he quite understands it, but he basically just keeps asking. He said, you comedy? You comedian making jokes? I'm like, well, not really. I'm kind of, you know, the straight man. You know, we're friends, and, you know, he's the comedian. But, yes, it's on Comedy Central, and he's like, no, no. Like, he does not believe that. So it's, you know, vaguely insulting, but I would say that's pretty standard for our relationship.
Well, if I was like talking to like my parents, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be going on the NFL Network and breaking down games. They'd be like, you're doing what? Like, it's the same thing. So how long are they here for?
They're gone Saturday. Yeah. I mean, I probably shouldn't go too deep into it. I've gotten, you know, in trouble talking too much about my families yet. But yeah, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time for Emeka to be spending with her dad, because usually he's just kind of off. Like, he goes out every night in Tokyo, and here he's kind of captive.
Mm-hmm. But he's not staying with you.
No, he's staying nearby. We got him a place. I also this week got some surprising internet hate from friends, from Twitter, about taking some dismissive comments about Real Big Fish last weekend. I don't know if you remember that on the show.
No.
I mean, I heard that from Dave, you know, my best friend, one of my two best friends, that it was a little harsh. Yikes. On them. And then I also got a tweet, you know, from some big fan that called me, what was it that he called me? I sent it to you, Erica. I think an arrogant bitch.
An
aggressive bitch, and the band a couple comments came at me, and the band liked those comments. So
really,
I'm apparently in the crosshairs of Real Big Fish, but I will not bow down.
One who talked trash, or was I talking to anything? I don't remember how.
I think
Real
you
Big
just
Fish
couldn't even
up.
Remember their big song.
It was,
but why,
you know,
would,
it was
why did they come up at all?
Because I was playing like
it was
ska.
They were a ska
music.
Band, and you know what? I like them. You know, whatever, how everyone wants to enjoy music, but.
Greg, your Twitter game's been fire, though, lately. It's been really good.
How is that? I like tweet like once every other day, and half of it's about women's tennis.
I think it's really funny when bands get mad on social media. It's like when Smash Mouth would like fight with people who would be like, "You're only famous because of Shrek." They'd be like, "Well, actually, the song was number one before Shrek came out, so in your face." And people are like, "What are you doing, Smash Mouth? Like, does Real Big Fish still put out music?
They're still coming out. They're touring this summer. I now am well aware of Real Big Fish. So
we're gonna be backstage at a Real Big Fish show one day. Well, that's exciting news, Greg. Erica, what? How was your week?
It was good. I was sick this weekend, like I said, so I just kind of took it easy.
Yeah, I mean, you took off work today, but you're here and you seem perfectly healthy.
No,
yeah.
I'm definitely stuffed up.
Erica's really kind of glided. I've noticed that the NFL, she's in her first kind of full year as a full-time employee, and she's now sort of taking the liberties that I've now taken after like a 15-year career. She's just like kicking her feet up, taking advantage of basically every loophole she can when it's a little slower there.
You got to take your sick days. I agree with Erica.
Like, they expire. And, like, so are we.
Yeah.
Over time. So, you know, I'm sick. I'm not going to miss my show. I'm not going to miss my responsibilities. If I can take a sick day, I'm going to take it.
Sounds like we've had a good week. You know, Erica's sick. Greg's battling Real Big Fish. And I've been filming a television show. So that was our week. And now it's time for... Did we get any notes? That was Pretty Big Fish. They're a Real Big Fish tribute band. They're just Pretty Big Fish. They're really good. I think even better than Real Big Fish. I don't want to open up the gates of hell and have them come at me. But I think it's funny that they would just pick you and leave me out of it. Maybe they did tweet at me and I just didn't see it. Did we get any notes? No, but as an update... In the negotiations between myself and Greg and Comedy Central, things are looking good. I think I believe that I am going to get what I want, and if I do get what I want, then I've got a 2-year plan. If I get what I want here, that I'm very excited about possibly getting the reveal at some point. But again, this could change. Maybe the intel I've been getting is false and things fall apart, in which case we are more than willing to peace out, even though I have a TV show with the network.
Two things on that. The reaction, the facial reaction when you revealed this 2-year plan off mic that Erica had, was kind of heartbreaking.
In what way? Like sad or?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the fact that you think that you would still be here in 2 years. You know what I mean?
This is all I have to live for.
We love having you here. I was assuming you would move on and have to do something else. Like if you were like, Anthony, I got another job. I'm finally getting to leave the NFL network. I'm not going to be able to come here anymore. I would be like, I totally understand. You're leaving out the big door. You know, you're not going to get fired. You'll leave out the big door. But 2 years is a long time.
That's a really long time. Yeah, but it was kind of sad. And that wasn't sad at all. No, I'm
you
saying the look on her face was sad.
Half the time.
What?
The other thing is
I have a theory, though,
Anthony. If I was Comedy Central, what I would not want to do while you're taping their show is give any sort of bad indication about this podcast, get you in the... It's kind of like sending one of those emails, but have it be less funny. Like, they would not want to get you in a bad frame of mind and angry at them during your show taping.
That's why they're
going to send a nice message to... I'll believe this.
I'm not in negotiations with them at all. It's my manager talking to them, and I think that this is coming from her. I believe we'll get what we want. But if they were going to it's during taping, let's give him the deal now so that he knows it's happening. They wouldn't make me mad, but I would think they would try to make me as happy as they can. But I feel bad about something from last week. We played an ad for one of Comedy Central's newest podcasts, Your Two Dads. I had Greg read the ad and I kind of made some jokes. And then I went and listened to it to my Comedy Central brothers, my podcast brothers. And I felt bad for being so dismissive that I wanted to take a couple minutes and play their intro. Like if you go to like a podcast, we have one for our podcast. Like the first, it's not an episode, it's just a 2-minute thing where they kind of break down what the podcast is, what their vibe is, you know, like what they kind of do. So I thought like
a trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
Since we don't have any real ads on the podcast, we might as well listen to this.
Yeah, to make up for what I said last week, I just want to give them some props and play for you their 2-minute trailer. So please enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Guess what?
What?
They're still making new podcasts.
We're a new podcast. Hey, guys. I'm Julian McCullough, comedian, dad. What up? That's Fun Dad, Sean O'Connor.
And that is Woke Dad, Julian McCullough.
Aw, I am awake. We have a new podcast coming out called Your Two Dads. We read this Time magazine poll that said people want another podcast specifically about dads.
Yeah, it actually said 1% of all people want more podcasts.
But 1%? Is a lot of people.
Finally, a podcast for dads by dads. It's not just for dads either. It's for anyone. People who have dads. It's for people who are going to be dads.
Maybe you know a dad.
Yeah, if you've ever met a dad.
And you didn't know how to talk to him.
It's for mommies. It's for grandmas. It's for even for little kids who are like, what am I listening to?
As a dad, I would say that I never found a group or a place I could go to just talk to a bunch of other dads and have a community. That's not what we do. We're lone wolves.
No. I remember when my wife was pregnant, I would go to a park, see a bunch of dads sitting there and be like, hey, is that your kid? And they'd be like, get out of here, creep.
Yeah. Well, you need to bring your kid.
Yeah, that was the problem. But finally, we have a podcast now. I don't have to go to a park.
You don't have to. And guess what? You guys at home don't have to go to a park. If you're lonely because, you know, all you have to hang out with is your family, well, then guess what?
Yeah.
That's what we're for.
Yeah, tune in. We're your new family.
Hey, you know how there's all those dad groups?
Yeah.
There's not.
We'll be the dad group.
We're your dad group. You come hang out with us, and it'll be like you're at a group, but you don't have to go there.
Yeah, we're going to do locker room talk.
No! That has changed. We're going to talk about kid content. We're going to watch all those movies so you don't have to watch them.
We're going to eat kid food to find out if it's, like, really terrible, and should we be giving our kids it?
We're going
to
unbox toys, maybe. We'll play with some toys.
Oh, my God.
Tell you which toys are good.
We're going to become YouTube influencers.
The point is, this show is going to come out. You're going to listen to it wherever you can find podcasts, and you're going to listen to us while you should be watching your kid in order to be a better dad.
Look at us as like that book, What to Expect When She's Expecting, except now it's What to Expect When He's Expecting.
Is it too late to quit the show during the promo?
Yeah.
I'm Julian McCullough.
Hey, and I'm Sean O'Connor. Please listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
See, doesn't that sound great? Like, I feel dumb. I wish I could go back and edit last week's podcast to not make fun of them, because that sounds great. And it doesn't really help my negotiations with the network now that I know they have this. You know, it kind of makes it tougher for me to show domination in the podcast game with your two dads out there.
Because we've got a room of four right now between me, you, Erica, and Stu. Only one dad.
I don't like the way you say Stu. We say Stu with affection. You know, you say it like it's an insult. You spit it like it's a slur.
My point
he
is...
He saved the day today.
He's just grouped in with you three non-dads, is my point.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, Greg can't wait to listen to this. Greg can't wait to listen to that podcast. I'm probably going to listen to it too. They said it was not just for dads. I have a dad. So that podcast is for me. I just wanted to play that for everyone so they know, so they can go check it out. You know, if this podcast does end up going off the air because of Comedy Central, at least you have something in its place. You know, it's like Game of Thrones is over, but we got Watchmen coming up. So apologies to your two dads. It seems like it's going to be great. They seem like they have a great chemistry, really funny, and just a great take on being a dad, which is fascinating. So Comedy Central, we hope the thing works out. And if I don't have a new badge by the time I walk in next week, I almost left this today when they wouldn't let me in and told me to email the badge people. I almost just walked. But hopefully they figure it out by next week, and I have an explanation for why they would give us a pass that lasts 8 months.
They didn't believe in us.
And that was, did we get any notes? Now, let's take it down to a special place, a fun place where dads aren't allowed. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our wonderful, amazing producer. I don't know who's producing your two dads, but it ain't Erica. We got Erica. She's our secret weapon. She's spunky. She's got moxie. A bunch of things that end in Y. And we love her to pieces. We love having her here. Even when she's sick, she still makes it in to this job. And we like to carve out a couple minutes for Erica to do whatever she wants within reason.
Yeah.
I actually vetoed her first her first try for Erica's Corner, and told her to come up with something else. Sometimes it's a viewer email. Sometimes it's a iTunes comment. Sometimes it's a tweet. Sometimes it's something Erica wants to ask us herself. So Erica, take a few minutes for yourself and shine on, you crazy diamond.
Cool. Well, I really want to read a fan email today. So from Carson M., we have, "Hey guys, I love the podcast. It's oddly motivating to listen to before work on Wednesday mornings. I'm sorry to see the season ending. Anyways, my question is, how do I change the current relationship I have with a fuck buddy from a fuck friend to something serious? It's been 10 months. I've made a few attempts and had no such luck."
Greg, you want to take a shot at this? Because I know my answer.
What's the difference between a fuck buddy and a fuck friend?
Fuck buddy
to
like,
something serious.
From,
okay.
Yeah,
oh,
to
I
something
see.
Serious.
Yeah, they want
to
like. He wants to start.
Let me hear yours first.
I think it's impossible. I think it's like when you work at a restaurant. Like Greg and I have worked at a restaurant before, where Greg was on the wait staff, making a lot more money. I was in the kitchen, making less money. I still make good money in the kitchen, but you don't make tips. You know, you're making just a wage. And if you tried to go from the kitchen, if you were like, "Hey, I'd rather go make more money being a waiter," they were just like, "No." Like, you're a kitchen guy. Like, once you come in and sign on in the kitchen, you're in the kitchen.
You have that stain on you.
Once you sign on for the wait staff, you're in the wait staff or you're gone.
And they put the good-looking people out front and kind of the ogres in the back.
Mm-hmm. You need to find a new restaurant. Do you know what I mean? Once you start that fuck buddy thing, it's not going to evolve. You're fuck buddies until you're done.
See, but I feel like you already crossed that line. It's harder to go from the friend zone to, like, I really want to sleep with my friend.
Friend zone's impossible. Once you're just a fuck buddy, it's like, well, if you were going to be more, you would have been more immediately.
True.
Well, that I think you're wasting your time trying to make it into an actual romantic relationship when it just, it is what it is.
Well, the most concerning part of it is it's been 10 months. I've made a few attempts and have had no such luck. I would say the only way you could make that transition was to stop trying. Stop trying to turn it into something else. Just keep being a fuck buddy, and maybe it'll naturally happen eventually. Seeming like you're trying to like force it, you know, that's not gonna work.
He's not trying to force it. I think what it sounds like to me is that every like couple of weeks or something, every month or so, he's like, "Hey, you wanna get dinner?" And they're like, "No. Do you wanna come over at 10:30? That's what I'm getting from this email, that like you're never gonna get that dinner.
Also,
it's never going to happen.
I'm saying things sometimes in life are just like timing. So maybe, you know, this girl or whoever, it's going to be in a different place mentally in 4 or 5 months. And then suddenly they'll see that Carson.
But don't you think
what they,
the they'll see? Maybe you have to like have a not self-respect, because, you know, if you're the sex is there, then it's there. But stop having sex. If you have feelings for this person and they're not being reciprocated, don't just be a fuck buddy. Be their friend. And if they don't want to be friends, then they'll eventually come around if it's meant to be, or, you know, go find someone else.
No, think about it like this. Think about it like you go to a restaurant.
That made sense, though. Just cut it off.
Like, have self-respect.
It made sense.
Carson.
It was wrong. I mean, I understood what you're saying. It's wrong. Imagine if you went to a restaurant every day and you eat lunch and they're like, "It's on us. Okay, free lunch." You're like, "Great." And then one day they're like, "Hey, would you like to pay for this lunch every day?" And you're like, "No, I'm used to not paying. I'm not going to get into a relationship with you where I now have to pay money for it."
What?
Do you understand? This partner of our listener has been getting a free lunch, has been getting free dinner, free food. They get laid whenever they want, and they don't have to deal with all the other crap that comes with the relationship. You have to really care about someone to want to deal with.
But Carson wants. He has friends.
Carson does it. The other person doesn't. I'm saying the other person, he's like asking them to get in a relationship, which is not what the person's on board for. They just want the bone. Mm.
Right, so why keep hurting yourself and sleeping with this person and developing feelings when you can be like, "Okay, if you don't want to be in a relationship, I'm going to go Tinder.
If you can go find someone else, you got to find someone else, and you got to start it from a relationship. You can't just start as a fuck buddy and then move into a relationship. That's not how it works. That is not how it works.
Have you ever had a fuck buddy, Greg?
Not really. I was a relationship person. I mean, I've been married for 12. I've been with Emeka for 14 years. certainly there's college, you know, I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, I have nothing but fuck buddies, and I enjoy it. But if one of them was like, hey, I want to take this to the next level, I'd be like, oh, you mean the lobby of the building I live in? Get the fuck out of here. That's the next level you're going to.
Yeah, I just don't know how people, I don't know how you do it. I think without feelings. How do you not get feelings?
Well, that's why I think Tamposi's advice isn't bad. I would just like cut it off and see what happens. That's your only chance.
It probably
won't lead to anything, but it's better off for you.
But if they come crawling back.
And it's better off for you, and you never know. Maybe they'll realize they missed that little Carson train.
I'm saying that well is dry. You can walk away, try to make her jealous, whatever you want to do. It's not, nothing's going to work. You need to find someone else.
Regardless.
Yes. You opened and if they don't have the feelings right away, I'm not saying a fuck buddy can't turn into a relationship, but if you try and they're like, no, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, about 10 months of sleeping exactly. with this
right.
person.
Yeah.
That's like,
and if they're not down at that point,
it's true.
Right.
And also, like, if of anyone I know, if you were going to try to find someone to get, like, great relationship advice of a terrific monogamous relationship, it's Anthony.
Right.
You know?
That's not just, what he's asking for. He's saying, like, how do I get this to move to the next level? And I'm saying, you cannot.
Have you ever had feelings for just a fuck buddy?
No. If I had fuck buddies have feelings for me, yes. And okay. You know what happens? They stop being my fuck buddy.
Right, because you cut them off. My advice. Woo!
Yeah, but this is advice for the other person, not the person emailing.
Oh, right. Well, just cut them loose. That's it.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah, get rid of them. Start from scratch. See if the next
so
one.
So many dating apps out there. It's so easy. Don't just fall into the, you know, comfortable.
I think we're really missing our lane here as a podcast. We could just be like the next love line.
Yeah,
you know?
I give great advice.
We are a generous lover as a group.
And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on. You cray cray die. That was Fish Big Reel. That's a side project from some of the guys from Real Big Fish who just were like, hey, let's just chill. And stop all this ska. We don't need to be skanking around. What do they call it when they dance? The skank? Is that what it is? There's that one dance that everybody who listens to ska does where they kick. You know what I mean?
No.
It's like, it's a little bit bushwhacker, tag team WWE, and a lot of kicking.
Yeah, if you were at the Warped Tour like me in 1999, you did some skanking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greg knows what I'm talking about.
He's right.
Yeah, they were like, we just want to chill a little bit, and, like, catch our breath in between skanks, and just chill out. But Greg, let's get into headlines.
Please, let's talk about the trans community. You know, we don't do that enough on this show.
I think we do it more than most shows, probably.
That's probably true. A controversy erupted last week when some clowns who probably don't pay any attention to Division II sports, unless there's some sort of trans controversy, were upset because a woman, Cece Telfer, won the 400-meter hurdles in Division II last week, and she had transitioned into becoming a woman the year before, and so a lot of people out there are upset that, you know, watch out, you know, she's, you know, they're taking over our sports.
This is hilarious to me because it's clearly coming from a place of hate, of like, I don't understand the trans community, so I hate them, and I don't want them in my sports. No one in America gives a flying fuck about track and field. In Europe, of course, it's a huge thing, but in America, no one cares.
Well, especially this is D2.
D2, exactly.
It was D2. She's at Franklin Pierce. She had been competing in men's track and field before that, and she did win the 400 meters, which is a great accomplishment, but was by no means... a dominant athlete, did not make the finals in other events, did not do particularly well overall the year before, but did have this one event, and suddenly, like, people are paying attention to it like it's the biggest thing in the world.
Exactly, like they're ruining it for the other women competing, the women who were cis women, I guess you say, competing in this thing. But she's not dominating. She won one event. She's in D2. She comes in fourth place all the time. It's not like it's like some cheat code where like that, like she gets to take steroids and no one else does. It is insane that people are mad. And if you're mad about this, it's truly coming from a place of hate inside your own heart. If you have the courage to become a part of the trans community and go through all of the hellish things you have to do to transition, you should be allowed to play sports. It's not something they're doing just to dominate women's D2 events. It's not like the 400-meter hurdles. Winning that is like a free pass around the world. That that she decided to go through this for that. If you're a trans person and you go through these things, compete in whatever sport you want. And again, she's not the best. If she was like D1, like Olympian, we're going through this. And that's, I mean, I don't have a problem with that either. If you transition and you're the best at what you do, great. Like, who's the woman who has like, it's like a higher testosterone level just biologically?
Right, and everything that the woman Telford did is totally, you know, NCAA, and it is complicated. They've had to make rules about all this, but everything she did, hormones, blah, 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 was like, you know, exactly what the rules say you should do, and there was nothing going on. It reminds me a little bit of sometimes, and I saw this last week too, like a minor league baseball team will have, you know, Pride Night. It's, you know, it's Pride Month right now.
Did you see the comments on the Dodgers post for last week was Pride Night, I guess?
No. See, so that's not, yeah, I wasn't even talking.
Yeah, they flew the like rainbow flag and the trans Pride flag at the same height as the American flags, because they're all the flags, and all of the comments were literally, in LA, were like, they should not be flying as high as the American flag, like, this is bullshit, like, all, it was insane.
People are so full of hate, and this is like, we're going to talk about flags, here's another one. At the hockey game, in the NHL finals the other night, I believe, I don't know if it was in Boston or Toronto, I think it was in Toronto, they have, it must have been in Boston, I think it was American troops, they have a color guard. They have the American flag. They have, I think, like a Canadian flag. They have the Massachusetts state flag, maybe. Maybe there's a Boston flag. But then they also have a flag for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I swear to God, they're flying
a
flag.
Yeah, that was in St. Louis. Equally
with all the other flags, there's a flag for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. That's how much the flag matters. That if you're mad that the gay rights flag is flying as high as the Stars and Stripes, and you're not mad about Enterprise Rent-A-Car being there, get the fuck out of my face. They're flags. Well, it's not that big a deal. If Betsy Ross could just make it up off the top of her head, who cares?
Well, yeah, there are some local conservative activists actually in Boston. This is a totally separate story, but it's related. Are planning a straight pride parade in Boston.
What?
Because they're getting upset with all the gay pride talk in June, and so they're doing a straight pride parade. You know what a straight pride parade is? Every other parade.
Actually, no parade is actually straight. They're all pretty gay. I don't care who you are. If you could be the most like anti-gay Irish alcoholic wastoid in the world. If you're in a parade, that's the gayest thing you've ever done. I welcome our queer and trans brothers and sisters during this month of Pride. Fly that flag higher. I think the United States flag should be at half mast out of embarrassment for the way some Americans are treating Gay Pride Month. And that's all I have to say about that. Next headline, real big fish it up. That was the song they were playing in the security office when I sat there for 20 minutes while they asked me different names they could email at 7 o'clock to let me into the building I've been coming into for 36 straight weeks.
Mm. Our next story is related to the NBA Finals, where Drake is making his presence known. As he has really throughout the NBA playoffs, it's been kind of a fun storyline to see Drake on the sidelines in Toronto and Milwaukee and in various locales.
So
but he had to cover up during the first two games of the finals that he has apparently made a tattoo over the last couple of years of Steph Curry, who plays for the Warriors, and Kevin Durant's numbers and a little message underneath them. And now that his team, the Raptors, are playing the Warriors in the finals, he's embarrassed about that and is covering it up with like an armband.
Yeah, I think you got to sit at home. If you got tattoos of the other team, he's a Toronto fan, and I get he's from the six. You know, he wants to be the hometown guy. He's annoying as hell on the sideline. It's like watching Jeopardy with someone when they just keep on trying to yell out the answer, even if they're wrong. They're just with the complete confidence. Him like strutting down the sidelines, talking to players, giving
talking
the coach
trash.
A back massage. Like, yeah, you can't play basketball, Drake. Like, go rap or something. But don't be telling basketball players. Don't be calling Draymond Green trash. It just makes him look like the biggest dork of all time. I love that the NBA is like telling him to cool it. But if you have those tattoos, you should stay home. If you have to cover up your tattoos to go to a game because you're such a fanboy,
you have
the numbers of other players, which is a weird thing already.
That's
even
what
if
I'm
he
saying.
Just
you
got
should
Toronto
not get
players.
It in the first place.
No, it's a
put
bad tattoo.
Put another man's, another just random athlete's numbers on your body. Then it's not even your team.
Exactly. If it was your team,
where's the
okay,
respect?
I get
self-respect.
It. I get it. Like if I got Ben Roethlisberger's number 7, you know, and like a Roethlisberger written above it, it would make perfect sense for me. It would be totally in character. You know, you'd never have to cover that up out of shame.
Garth Brooks would do that. He loves Ben Roethlisberger.
You haven't seen Garth Brooks without his shirt on. He's got the full. It's like a full jersey. It's like it just like it looks like he's wearing a jersey even when he's bare chested, and it's Roethlisberger, he had to get it fixed because they misspelled Roethlisberger the first time, but it looks good on him.
I find Drake kind of interesting because he's like the dominant. It's taken me a while to realize this, but he's the dominant musical force in the world. Like he has the crown. I would say if you look at the aughts in general, Drake is probably number one. Not to me.
Bigger than Beyonce? Bigger than Rihanna?
Hey, talk about album sales, who people actually listen to. He blows Beyonce and Rihanna out of the water. The only one that would be even close over the last decade would be Taylor Swift. That's definitely a different...
Taylor Swift kills him.
That just makes kill him, but she doesn't have like kind of the cred.
That just makes him the Big Bang Theory of hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like just because you're popular doesn't mean you're good. My favorite part
of
Drake being a part of the
playoffs. He is good, though, but that's what I kind of mean. It's like someone like that, usually you're trying to be cool, and sort of his MO is not cool. He is not that interested in being cool. Like his,
I think he's very
interested,
he just can't do it.
Like Rihanna, like he's very like seeming, I don't know if he's okay, but whatever he's doing, he like doesn't come off as like a cool guy or the coolest guy in the room, and yet he's like the most popular.
He's corny and people like corny. But the best, I think the best part of Drake during the playoffs was when they were playing the Milwaukee Bucks, and the owner of the Bucks, his daughter, who's a beautiful young girl, wore a Pusha T t-shirt to a game that I was like, awesome. That's the way you get back at Drake. Just bring up Pusha T whenever you can. But yeah, if you have tattoos of the other team that you're like against, just don't go to the game. Stay at home.
Unless it's a super, you know, the Drake curse, whatever team he supports loses.
Mm-hmm.
And he wears all the different jerseys, and he did that for the Bucks and all that kind of stuff, and then they lose and whatever. Maybe this is the long game to have the Raptors win. And
that's,
Drake's dumb enough to get
confusing.
A tattooed on his body.
He's corny.
Does your 3-year plan for the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
Jeremy
Junior Vice President,
include any tattoos?
Yeah, of course.
Because I feel like
I'm ready.
Like Emeka and I are itching. I don't know. It might not. They might not have to do with this podcast or not. But I'm ready to go spend some money and get a tattoo with my wife this summer before the feeling leaves me. I don't know whether you want to be
spend
involved
some money,
or
it's
not.
Like $200
to get.
I'm not getting a $200 tattoo.
I would pay for tattoos. More expensive than you think if you get the
right,
you get the right person. But if you and Emeka got tattoos and you would let me be a third and get matching tattoos with you guys, I would pay for it. I would set it all up, and it would be Draymond Green's number. Jesus Christ.
What is the theme of this music? You know,
like what you would hear at a Pride parade.
Yeah, for new listeners. And we have a lot of new listeners lately. Shout out to everyone who's jumped in since Fire in the Maternity Ward, Anthony's Netflix special. And shout out to The Rock, who maybe gave us a nice boost last week. That was our biggest one yet. You know, subscribe on iTunes. Leave us comments. Leave us ratings. That's been jumping up, all the comments lately, so that's all good.
I gotta find out what Jason Statham thinks about Fire in the Maternity Ward. I want to know what every Hollywood actor thinks about my special. But The Rock called it brilliant.
He did. And
that's, And that's good.
And for the new listeners, you know, we're not allowed to play real, like, licensed music on this show, so we have to go out of the Comedy Central library.
We gotta go from Erica's
and usually
personal collection.
It's like some sort of theme, but I don't know what this theme is.
I typed in tropical, and it was all kind of electronic, and I was sort of like, yeah, that's Pride, June month.
I could not imagine being like, what kind of music do I want to do? Let's type in tropical.
I'm just trying to switch it up because I'm not working with much here.
Well, speaking of, you know, great male-on-male relationships, Juju Smith-Schuster took a young man to a prom this week.
This is the coolest story I've ever heard. I love this so much.
This young man who's a fan of Juju did not have a date for the prom. Mentioned it, I guess, to Juju and
online. Like, yeah, asked him online.
And this is kind of like a thing that's, you know, been going around the last few years, where like a celebrity goes with a fan or something like that.
They'll ask a porn star, a supermodel. A lot of times they're like, I'd love to, but I'm doing this movie, you know. But they answer them. But Juju not only went to prom with this guy, but they wore matching velvet tuxedos.
They look pretty good,
and they look like best friends. They look like they're having a blast. I'm sure that was like the most fun prom ever. And I think it's just so cool that Juju has zero problem with this. He's like, yeah, man, I'll go to prom with you. Like, yeah, let's get matching tuxes, which I'm sure Juju paid for. They look cool as hell in their pictures, and then went to prom together. And Juju didn't make a big deal out of it. He was just like super cool hanging out with his kid and rocking their prom. I think it's the reason that one of the reasons that Pittsburgh loves Juju Smith-Schuster so much. He's my new favorite player.
I mean, I would have a good time basically anywhere that I could just go dance, and then the rest of the crowd there would just be yelling, "Fuck AB, fuck AB."
Yes.
This is Juju Smith-Schuster and his boy and about 40 other high schoolers dancing while yelling, fuck AB. AB is Antonio Brown, the former Steeler who has disgraced himself this offseason.
He's been talking trash, and now Juju Smith gets the final revenge by taking an 18-year-old boy to his prom.
Long.
Would you go to a prom if like a big Fire in the Maternity Ward fan, you know, hit you up on Twitter and was like, really want to go to the prom with you, Anthony?
I've been asked to prom by a couple of different girls over my lifetime, and the older I get, the less that happens. I'd feel like creepy if I went to anyone's prom with a guy or a girl. I did not want to hang out with high school kids. Juju is like 22 maybe years old now, so that's like he's still in the realm, but for a 40-year-old to go would just be like, who the hell is this chaperone, and why is he why is he skanking on the dance floor? Why does he keep requesting real big fish?
Who's like
he's
your
ruining prom
arch
for everyone.
Nemesis? Who's like your like comedian arch, like who's like your rival or like fake beef? Give me like a fake
Robin Williams.
There's like all these kids jumping around you at prom, like fuck Robin Williams, fuck Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, that's my dream every
May
night.
He rest in peace.
But yeah, I wouldn't go to prom with anyone just because. I would feel creepy, but if
I'd say it would be Tosh.
You know what? If a
Daniel
guy,
Tosh, would be the
Tosh and I are boys.
Fuck,
but if
fuck
if
Tosh.
Somebody, if a guy was like, "Hey, my girlfriend dumped me last minute because I took her to your show, and she hated it so much that we broke up. I don't have a date for prom anymore. Would you come with me?" Yes, I would. I would be like, "Will we get matching tuxedos?" Mm. Yes. So maybe that's how they get me. But I think it's so cool. Like, seeing the picture and how happy they both were just thrilled me to no end. It's June, baby. It's Pride Month. Everyone's going to prom with whomever. Now it's time for
Juju
Recommendation Station. Greg, you want to go first?
Sure. Remember? I feel like we've almost, you know, stumbled into a theme here. I'm recommending Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney. That is a book that came out a couple years ago. Conversations with Friends by Sally Rooney. You know, it starts about a woman who lives with her best friend who used to be her ex-girlfriend. And they're wrapping up college. They become entangled with this older, kind of hip, you know, more established couple. And it kind of goes from there. I've pimped a lot of books this season, but this is the one I would recommend the most.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. I loved it. And it's the one that I actually have it with me. I want to give it to Erica. If Erica does not like this book, if she doesn't enjoy this. Just novels are not for her at this point in her life, I would say, because I would think that you would love it. And it's huge. It's like, I had never heard about it until a couple years ago. She has a new book, Sally Rooney, called Normal People, which a lot of, you know, I'm going to read very soon too, and it should be amazing. And she's hugely hyped relatively, but I guess, you know, what does that mean in 2019? You don't hear that much. Like a lot of like pieces calling her like the first great millennial author. Mm. And it does have a very sort of now sensibility, just in terms of she's such a cool main character that the voice is written in. It's badass. Like, this is the book that Emeka and I agreed on more than any other, just about ever, that she absolutely loved it and tore through it. Like, I wanted to savor it, but I finished it in like 2 or 3 days. It was
really
amazing.
That sounds great. Erica, do you think you'll read it?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
I think you will. I think you'll like it.
When you ask someone to read a book, like, I'll give it a shot. You're like, you're not reading this book.
I'll try. I'm just like busy, like going to people's proms and stuff.
You're not that busy. You can make it. You can make the time if you wanted to. If you enjoyed doing it, you know, it would be very easy to do. Like, this is the one where I'd feel the most confident. You know, I've recommended a lot of books, and I understand they're probably not, every one of them is not for everyone. But if there's one that I think our listeners would enjoy and just tear through, and it'd be a crowd pleaser, I think this is it.
I think Greg, I mean, not every book Greg recommends is for everyone, but he has a very high bar that books have to clear for them to recommend. That if you don't like the book, I understand, but you can't deny its greatness. Every book I've read that he's recommended has been fantastic. I will try to check it out. I'm in the middle of a book about Chernobyl that I'm really into right now. I haven't seen the TV series yet, but I've heard it's great, and I want to read the book first. So I can't recommend that just yet, even though it's fantastic, and I'll talk about it maybe next week. But I am recommending a 4-part documentary series on Showtime that just wrapped up. They were airing it every Friday. It was a Wu-Tang Clan of Mics and Men.
Oh, my God.
Each episode's an hour, and it's the it's like, you know, how they came together, you know, them blowing up, them kind of like, you know, going on to the next album, and then kind of how they fell apart a little bit, like the rifts that came between. And I really dislike documentaries that are clearly either being funded by, or, you know, the members of the band or the actor, whoever it is a producer, because, you know, it's just their story. But they're so open and honest, and there's so much good footage that you really get to see how the cracks first appear and what happened to Wu-Tang. I mean, they're still Wu-Tang, but there have been fractures in what happened, and it's fascinating to watch and so cool just to see behind the scenes stuff and interviews, and especially hearing about their tour with Rage Against the Machine. And
I went to that tour.
I didn't get to see it. But
I went
it,
to the Met the Meadows in Hartford. It was the first time I've ever been maced. Wu-Tang was kind of like annoyed that. I think it was Wu-Tang was annoyed that like all the Rage fans were at the front and the Wu-Tang fans were like on the hill behind, and Wu-Tang, I think they were double, you know, headliners, but Wu-Tang played first that night, and they were like, you know, we don't like all, you know, we want you to come bum rush the stage. And so people just jumped over these barriers, and suddenly it was like a mass of like thousands of people pushing forward, and they maced the shit out of us.
Were you in front or were you in the back? And
I was in the front of the back, so I was in the worst place possible and I had no choice.
Yeah,
but
you
to
had
just
to
get,
run. You
to
get
just
trampled.
Get swept up in it.
Yeah, I saw Wu-Tang live once in Seattle, and they were incredible. This was after ODB's passing. But it was cool to see that, and then they talked about how they got like in trouble. There was like some Summer Jam concert with like the biggest radio station in New York did a concert every year, and they were like, "You're on tour, but you have to come back and do this concert and headline this, or we're gonna stop playing you." So, and they're like, well, they're not getting paid. They're just like, you got to come back and play. And so they go, and they're like, all right. And Ghostface Kill in the end just like makes the crowd start chanting like, fuck Hot 97. And then they said Hot 97 didn't play their music for like over a decade.
Wow.
And it like almost ruined like the whole band right there. They were just like demoralized. But the like Ghostface like said what we were all thinking. And I just love that sort of thing.
Oh my God. I'm going to watch this so fast.
It's amazing. It's,
so
it's,
a warning
it's amazing.
To the person who's like Showtime account that I use occasionally from work, like, stop watching softcore porns. I can see what you're watching.
Yeah, that's that's what
that's what the internet's for. Please,
Erica, you have anything to recommend?
What
I'm saying, like,
so you're using a friend's account.
I have someone else's password, and I guess it's been passed around, so it's a little unclear who. But you can see, like, recently watched. You know, that's right at the bottom of the app, and it's always like some like ridiculously bad softcore porn.
You can't use someone's password and call them out for watching softcore
porn. Well, about putting their name out. I don't know who it is exactly. I know it's not the person that gave me the password. It's
that
someone.
That is illegal. What you're doing is illegal. That's from Weekend at Bernie's. Erica, what do you have to recommend this week?
I went to the movies on Thursday night and saw Booksmart. Mm. And it was Olivia Wilde's like directorial debut. The film was so awesome, so cool, sort of like a coming of age high school, two girls talk about the theme. One of them was openly gay, and for like a 18-year-old it was literally like, oh, her best friend was, you have a crush on her, go talk to her. That like, it was a totally just like everything in this movie is a totally 2019. Everything's normal. Everything's cool. There's no like real drama about besides their friendship. And it was so fun, so well done. And I absolutely loved it. And if you can get to the theater, you should.
Let me ask you this. Did you see Eighth Grade?
I did not.
Okay. Because I'm like, I can only handle children in movies, kids in movies so
much.
But
that was really upsetting, I've heard. I haven't
finished it's great. It's fantastic. Eighth Grade's an amazing movie.
Well, of course.
Bowen directed it. But it made me just not, I haven't been able to see, like, mid-90s I didn't want to go see.
No.
Like, I feel like I've just seen my kids' movie for the year, but I've heard nothing but great things about
Booksmart.
No, I
want to see this, and I know I'm going to love it. I can't wait to see it. And
it's worth
you can see more than, you know.
I don't like child actors.
Eighth Grade was last year.
They bug me.
Well.
Maybe I'll go see
this. They're like, they're teens, though. It's not eighth grade. It's senior year of high school, basically.
Yeah. Do you remember Loretta from Justified, the little girl in like the last season? She's one of the lead actresses.
Oh, cool. And then the other one is Jonah Hill's sister?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
Everyone I've talked to, all my comedian friends who've seen it, love it.
It's
they
amazing.
Rave about it. So yeah, go check that out. And that was recommend. That was. That was Recommendation Station. And now, Erica, play us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
Real big fish.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.